This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
It's 6:06. Welcome to Inside Story. I'm Sharmila Ganesan. It's MCO 3.0, and as of now, outdoor exercise is banned. So today, we're going to be discussing exercising under the SOPs and all of the confusion surrounding it. So first, we'll look at outdoor exercise itself and what can be done safely during the pandemic. And then we'll talk about why clear government communication is so important during these times. Finally, we look at what we can do to exercise and keep healthy while indoors. So we want to hear from you. What are your thoughts on this outdoor exercise ban? And what are some of the ways that you've been keeping healthy over the past year? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:07, and let's just get into it. So the third MCO has been announced, and it's being imposed in 6 out of 9 Selangor districts, as well as the entire Kuala Lumpur district and several localities in Johor, Perak and Terengganu. And one thing that's caused a lot of anger and criticism is this announcement by the government that outdoor exercise is going to be banned for those areas that are under the MCO. The Youth and Sports Minister, Dato' Sri Rizal Marikan, said that this decision was made based on a risk assessment by the Health Ministry and that it's intended to prevent the spread of COVID-19 within communities. The thing is, this has also come surrounded by a lot of confusion because regardless of the way that the announcement of the Selangor versus the KL MCOs, which in itself were confusing, now this particular ban, the outdoor exercise ban, it was issued 24 hours after conflicting guidelines came out on the idea of outdoor exercise. So prior to that ban that was announced last night, the National Security Council had put out a standard operating procedure on these activities, which was quite conflicting to some of that information, and this caused a lot of confusion. One of them was the fact that the SOPs under MCO 3.0 in Selangor allowed for sporting activities that don't involve physical touch or indoor training facilities. And the general MCO 3.0 SOPs, meanwhile, states that any sporting and recreational activities were subject to the Youth and Sports Ministry's SOP. But last night it was updated that to be in line with this blanket ban, all sports and recreation activities weren't going to be allowed, including training facilities such as gyms. Now, I think this is coming at a particularly difficult time for many people because if you ask me personally, being able to go outside for a walk, being able to go to a park on a weekend has really been some of the most respite that I've gotten over the last few months, especially because so many other activities end up being difficult. And we've been repeatedly told that being in the open air is one of the safest things that we can do. We've also been told not to ignore both our physical health and our mental health when it comes to being confined largely indoors. And if gyms are not particularly comfortable for most of us, many of us have been turning out, to the outdoors just to go for a walk or go cycling or go for a hike perhaps. And many neighborhoods, you know, in the evenings, I'm seeing such an increase of people just taking a walk outside or taking in some fresh air, which I think is so, so important at this particular point in time. And some of that criticism that's been coming, we've had Dr. Stephen Chow, who's the president of the Federation of Private Medical Practitioners Association Malaysia. He said that this decision makes no sense. He has asked the government to provide evidence that exercising in compliance with the SOPs in an open area has in fact contributed to the spread of COVID-19. And he further said that outdoor activities should actually be encouraged because it's important to the physical and mental health of people. Bandar Kuching MP Dr. Kelvin Yee also has urged the government to reconsider this decision. He says that fitness activities actually boost people's immune systems and reduce the risk of COVID-19 infections. And He points out that people are still being allowed to walk in places like shopping malls or Ramadan bazaars, but you're not allowed to walk in an open park. We also have Professor Adiba Kamarul Zaman, who is the medical faculty dean at University Malaya, saying that the risk of getting COVID-19 outdoors is about 18 times lower than indoors. And so she's also urged the authorities to allow people to take part in activities outdoors, whether that's cycling or other outdoor sports or really anything that doesn't involve contact. So that's where we're at. As of now, we've heard that the government is re-evaluating that decision to ban sports and outdoor activities. We haven't heard an update on that yet, but this does bring us to this question of, one, why do that in the first place? Are there really risks when it comes to outdoor activities that we need to be more aware of? But also just a larger question of government communication and some of the confusion that a lot of this has triggered. So that's what we'll be talking about today on Inside Story. We want to know from you, what are your thoughts on this outdoor exercise ban? And what are some of the ways that you've been keeping healthy over the last year? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up, we'll look at outdoor exercise as a whole and what is safe during the pandemic. And for this, we'll be joined by Dr. Victor Ho, Professor of Occupational and Public Health at the Faculty of Medicine, University of Malaya. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:15. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila, and we're talking about the outdoor exercise ban that has been announced under MCO 3.0. Some of the confusion and anger that's resulted from it. And first, we're going to look at outdoor exercise in general. What are the things that we should know? What's safe to be done at this point in time? But we want to know your thoughts on this, this ban on outdoor exercise. What do you think? And what are some of the things that you've been doing to keep healthy over the last year? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now we're joined by Dr. Victor Ho, who is the Professor of Occupational and Public Health at the Department of Social and Preventive Medicine in the Faculty of Medicine at the University of Malaya. Dr. Victor, thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon. Thanks, Sharmila, for inviting me.
So let's start with outdoor exercise. What are the actual risks when it comes to it?
I think you have put it correctly. Basically, the risk itself is outdoor exercise is basically much more safer than indoor exercise. But the issue of outdoor exercise is that, of course, if you are in a large group of people doing outdoor exercise, the risk will basically increase. So there are studies that shows that if you are running and you're running in a small group, then there should not be an issue of getting COVID-19. But if you're running in a bigger group and you're basically trailing other runners behind you, then there is basically a side stream of that the virus actually can spread behind. So if I'm having COVID-19 and running in front of you and basically I can spread the COVID-19 to you if I'm too near. So they say that for running itself, it basically you need to be for walking you need to be around 5 meters away, and for running it's 10 meters behind the lead runner. So if you're running alone and you're cycling alone, there shouldn't be any risk at all, and the risk is basically very low, unless you are in a bigger group and there's a lot of people around you.
So in that case, then, are there particular activities outdoors that are safer to do than others? Could you give us some examples?
Basically, any outdoor activities that's exercising is good. And I think like doing exercise field is okay. But running also is okay, and cycling also is okay, and walking also is okay. But it's not the activity that is important. It's more of who you do the activity with that is more important. If you do the activity with the members of the family, means your spouse or your children, then there shouldn't be any risk, because at the end you're basically not exposing anybody else to the risk. But you're doing in a bigger group, and there's a lot of people coming out. Like let's say you are running a marathon. Definitely, there'll be risk because there are so many people, and the side stream from the person who actually having COVID-19 can spread. Because we understand that in the case of what we call exercise outdoor or exercise indoor, we are not encourage people to wear masks. And because it will suffocate the person and it will basically cause much more damage than just doing the exercise.
What about sports that involve other people? You know, things like football or badminton and all of these things. Are those okay to do? Are there things that we can do to keep ourselves safe while doing them?
I think basically sports that involve touching each other, like a soccer and basketball. That shouldn't be allowed, because that basically increase the risk of touching, and also increase the risk of you getting very near to the person, and you also get get exposed to the world. But for badminton, it depends on how active your badminton is and how much actually you are moving around. So it's very difficult to say whether it's good or not, but it's better not to play, because some people play very rough game and then basically they're moving very fast, and that actually create a lot of turbulence. And if you are breathing within the air that you're breathing, and that is COVID-19, then basically you can get COVID-19 from that activity. So of course, you're just playing a slow game of badminton, you know, from very far away, like me, then shouldn't be a problem.
You touched on this a little bit, Doctor, but I wanted to clarify. There is generally a lot of confusion over whether we should be wearing masks while exercising or not. What is a general rule of thumb to keep to?
Don't wear masks when you're exercising, because we know that I don't know what is your cardiac activity. All right. And if I say that you wear masks and then you got some cardiac problem, you basically collapse during the exercise. And that is very bad. So the rule of the thumb is don't wear masks. So if you need to wear masks, then you shouldn't be exercising at that time. Because when you're exercising, basically your cardiac activity increase, your breath rate increase, and everything increase. And if there is some resistance that you're breathing through, and sometimes because the mask itself will be very wet because of the sweat that you're getting, and then there's moisture within the mask that you're breathing. So that it will be very difficult for you to breathe, and sometimes you just forget and just collapse. And then that is bad. That's why we don't encourage these people to wear masks when they're doing exercise.
And does this apply even to activities that are perceived to be less strenuous, even if it's just yoga or something like that?
Yoga is less strenuous.
Particular kinds of yoga, I suppose. But in general, if you're not sort of puffing away, and if it's a less
strenuous in general, if you are just like walking, and then that is not exercise anyway. If your stretching is okay, but if your cardiac is not increasing, if your pulse rate is not increasing, if your breathing is not increasing, then that's not exercise. So that's just getting together and having some company, maybe. But that's not exercise. That, of course, you can wear a mask, and that's not a problem.
So I wanted to get back to this question of playgrounds and parks, right? Now, previously, even when playgrounds and parks were opened, hiking trails took much longer to reopen. And yesterday, when he was asked specifically about hiking, Minister Ismail Sabri Yaakob said that they won't be permitted. Why do you think some activities like hiking are perceived to be riskier than others? Are they in fact riskier?
I don't think hiking is risky. Hiking is the same risk as walking, basically. So if you can walk, and as mentioned earlier, you can walk in the supermarket, you can walk in the shopping center. Hiking is not a problem, and hiking depends on how fast you hike. You can basically hike with a mask on, and because you're not doing very quick. But of course, those people that are doing not hiking, basically more of a trail running, then it's different. Then it's a different thing. I don't think hiking should be banned. But of course, it's not the activity, as I mentioned, it's the number of people in the activity. If you can basically allow, let's say, 10 meters away, if you're running between the next person, then it's okay. Even hiking, if you're hiking and then you're 5 meters away from the next person, then it's okay. So there shouldn't be a problem doing hiking or other activities that is outdoor. Outdoor is basically much safer than doing anything indoor.
So as of now, that's exactly the point of contention, right? Outdoor exercises have been banned. Why is it important that they are still allowed during this time?
I think that the problem is now a lot of us, basically, we have limited activities available for us to do. And exercise is one of the good activities. I see a lot of people picking up exercise during this period of time. And that's very good. Because that's, this exercise basically increase their physical activity and increase their cardiac activity and basically increase their health, improve their health. And by improving your health, basically, if you do get COVID-19, your immunity will be better off, and it has shown that people basically exercise basically have better immunity, and that basically would reduce your risk of getting bad COVID-19.
And I just wanted to close with a question on gyms and fitness centers. Is there at all a way to reopen them and still stay safe?
It's very difficult to say whether there's a way to open it or not, because most of the gym are basically indoors and their ventilation is not designed for high, what you call that, turnover, basically to ensure that the ventilation has increased ventilation demand and increased ventilation, increased clearing of air to make sure that fresh air comes in. And if they do, they can do that actually. They can have more fresh air into the gym, but that would basically increase the cost of the aircon. So I would suggest if a gym, not a gym or a workout area, there is fresh air and limited by the number of people within, let's say you have a 10 meters squared, 10 to 15 meters squared per person, all right? If you have 10 to 15 meters squared per person, then it's okay. But it should be fresh air. If you don't have fresh air, then you can actually use the aircon, but the aircon needs the air exchange per hour need to be at least 20 air exchange per hour. And normally in your room now, you're sitting, you only have 4 air exchange per hour. Normal office is 4 air exchange per hour. By increasing the air exchange per hour, you're actually increasing the cost of cooling the air. So your cost of aircon will be very, very high.
Dr. Victor, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
You too. That was Dr. Victor Ho, Professor of Occupational and Public Health at the Department of Social and Preventive Medicine in the Faculty of Medicine at the University of Malaya, speaking to us about outdoor exercise, how to do it safely, and also why it's so important. And of course, we're talking about that because currently under MCO 3.0, exercising outdoors has been banned. And we've been asking you for your thoughts on this. How do you feel about the fact that we're not allowed to exercise outdoors? And how have you been keeping fit over the last year? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And we've got quite a number of messages and largely just not happy with this ban. We have Belinda saying, why ban outdoor exercise? This is the only way people can keep their sanity and stay healthy. You know, Belinda, I think a lot of people will identify with that. I also find that just being outdoors, being able to breathe in fresh air gives me such a lift, you know, over the last 1 year. And I think, yes, why ban outdoor exercise is the question everyone's asking. Jonathan says, the bigger question is, how is walking more dangerous compared to crowds at Ramadan bazaars? You know, Jonathan, this is a question that's actually been brought up multiple times. And I think it speaks to the inconsistencies when it comes to what is allowed and what isn't allowed. And by and large, it causes both a lot of confusion and I think no small amount of anger, because some things just don't make sense. And asking us to adhere to SOPs that don't seem to make sense is, I don't know, I think it's extremely frustrating. We have Kevin saying, well, just make sure you jog discreetly at the bazaars or malls. Well, yes, that sounds like a very desperate situation, and I'd rather not have to do that. But thank you for I don't know, a bit of a laugh in what's actually quite an infuriating topic. We have Bob who says, exercise has been so important for me in getting through the MCO. The physical benefits are one thing, but also just being able to get out of my head and focus on a physical activity has been so great for mental health. I've been on an online kickboxing subscription and enjoying doing that at home tremendously, but I've also been supplementing with weekend hikes, and the pleasure of being outdoors after spending all week working at home is immense, especially as our world shrinks with the movement control orders. I just don't understand the rationale for this decision. have any of the decision makers been to a park or a trail? In my experience, people are polite, they observe physical distancing, and a few who haven't are reminded to. Why can't we be led by science? Bob, you make so many excellent points. I agree with every single one of them. My experiences going to the parks have also been largely pleasant. Everyone keeps their mask on. Everyone tries to give each other that space so that you can enjoy being there, but also feel comfortable and safe. And particularly when in comparison to the fact that being in a shopping mall is deemed okay, this doesn't make sense to me. Let's see. We have a few more that we'll try and get to. We have Boy Filsa saying, I'm okay with the idea of closing the gym as my favorite machine is the vending machine outside of the gym, honestly. But as outdoor exercise, a small group should be fine. I believe outdoor exercises are far more beneficial than the risk of getting exposed to COVID. Yes, absolutely, 100%. I think outdoor exercise is hugely important. And particularly for someone like me who has been a little bit concerned about going back to the gym over the last year, this has been a bit of a blow. And it's something that I'm quite let down by. So let us know what you think about this exercise ban, this outdoor exercise ban. What are your thoughts? You can call us 7733290, WhatsApp 0187898899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up after this, we'll discuss the miscommunication that has surrounded this announcement. And we'll be speaking with Dr. Mahalakshmi Arjunan, Executive Director of the Malaysian Biotechnology Information Centre. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Building fit Malaysians, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:38. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila, and we're talking about the outdoor exercise ban under MCO 3.0. So earlier we spent some time talking about what the things are that we can do safely and why outdoor exercise is in particular important. And now we're going to be talking about the way in which this announcement was made. As we spoke about earlier, it was made with a lot of confusion, a lot of back and forth. And so we're going to discuss exactly that. Government communication and why it's so important at this point in time. But we do want to hear from you. What are your thoughts on this outdoor exercise ban? How does it impact the things that you've been doing to keep healthy over the last year? You can call us 7733290, WhatsApp 0187898899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And now joining us on the line, we have Dr. Mahalakshmi Arjunan, who is the Executive Director at the Malaysian Biotechnology Information Centre. Dr. Maha, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Sharmila, for having me on the air again.
Always good to have you back. How do you feel about this latest round of MCO announcements?
Well, to be very honest, I've never had any idea about any MCOs from the beginning. I'm always confused because there's so much of, I'm always lost in the alphabet soup. So what I do is I'm a trained microbiologist, so I set my own SOP for my family. Now, having said that, we do not want to train everyone to be a microbiologist or virologist or immunologist. So what I would say is we need to empower the public to make informed decisions. And I don't think this was done from day one, and it's not being done now as well.
And why is that important? Why is it important for these announcements to be clear, to be precise? Because, how does this impact the way people adhere to the SOPs?
It certainly have a big impact, and that is why we see a lot of people breaching their SOPs. So I've been always saying in the current situation, it's not about science communication. What we need now is risk communication, but that does not mean we need to communicate. It's about communicating the risk. It actually means we need different styles and principles where if you see, we are actually living in a situation where there's so much of high concern, low trust. You see, we don't. Many do not trust the government, do not trust the vaccines, do not trust the scientists. So there's so much of mental noise, and this is created by the fake news surrounding us, the pseudoscience and the fear. So in such situation, there is a bigger need to make all our messages super clear and more importantly, be consistent, which, of course, I think it's not happening. And all communication must not just be instructions. And that's what we're getting right now, isn't it? It's all do this, you can't do this. But what we need is how do we rationalize these do's and don'ts? We need to alleviate the fear. Most importantly, we need to instill trust because that's what we are lacking now. So I see all these components are lacking. And this is one major reason why we see public not following the SOPs. Of course, besides, you know, it has been so long, we have got so much of SOPs, and there's already pandemic and SOP fatigue among us. So it's so critical for communication to be clear, precise, and more importantly, empower the public to make the right decisions. I can tell you this is not easy, but it certainly can be done. So what we need is detailed communication strategies. We have actually moved to quite a bit of vaccine communication, but I think the public awareness on COVID itself and the virus itself is not there. So until today, public do not understand how this virus spreads. Why does it mutate? The risk of this new variants, how does a mask work, or why that particular distancing? I heard the professor saying earlier that for running, what's the distance? For jogging, what's the distance? So why do we need that particular distance? So this is where the basic science knowledge again becomes useful. And another thing, we must all understand that no vaccine gives us 100% protection, and COVID vaccine as well. And now the COVID vaccine also, we do not know how long the immunity will last. So you see, this is why the knowledge transfer is important, not just disseminating information. Sorry, Sharmila, my long answer.
No, that was, I think you covered so many important things. You mentioned inconsistencies, and I wanted to pick on that because with this exercise ban in particular, one of the inconsistencies seems to be between the federal and the state governments because they were saying different things. How does this sort of thing impact public perception?
It's so confusing. And the people also will lose trust. So, and we need to not just earn the trust, but I think, as I said, this is a very different situation. We have never had this type of situation in our lifetime. So what is important in such situation is trust and respect. So if we are having a flip-flop SOPs and someone says something else and then the other government says something else, people are certainly going to be questioning and they're all lost. And that is why we see people are breaching the SOPs. So, and again, you see, there are also other things that come into play when I think authorities are coming up with these SOPs, like politics, race, and religion as well. We can understand that the government is worried of offending certain group of people. And we saw this when the festival SOPs was announced and people started making demands and they were thinking that they might just that might be politicized. So there's a lot of flip-flop messaging and public loses their trust. And as I said, then it causes confusion.
So how do you think changes or updates to these SOPs should be announced so that that confusion doesn't happen?
It is basic, go back to science. Explain the science behind each decision. If there is a new ruling, get a scientist to explain what is the science behind it. Why do we have a new ruling? I think the way I see as a science communicator, the public is not able to connect the dots now. But also, we must understand science alone will not result in behavioral changes. As I say, trust must be earned. Empathy is very important. So we need to go back to the COVID campaign, the pandemic campaign, not just the vaccines. We need strong stories and we need influences. When I say stories, these are the stories that will touch people's heart, like how many deaths. Of course, we all know these new clusters, new variants, These are all there in the media. But my question is the vast majority able to connect the dots? I think they're not able to rationalize that with science. For example, why do we still need SOPs even after vaccination? I think this, if we let our guard down after vaccination, we are going to go back to square one. So as I said, it's a very complicated, unprecedented situation in our lifetime. Never before we have had all these things. And this is affecting us in multiple ways, not just health, but we know it is about our education, travel, recreation. And, you know, now we're talking about our exercises. So that is why it's so important to go back to science. And, you know, science reaches the brain. But today people are making decisions. Our heart is making the decisions, you know, figuratively speaking. So how do we tie up science and emotion? I think this is where it is so important.
Dr. Maha, we just have a couple of minutes left with you. But for those of us who are confused about the SOPs, finding it hard to keep up with the changes, what advice do you have?
Very difficult question, Sharmila. There's no one golden answer to this, but my quick answer, treat everyone like they are COVID positive, except for your family members. Of course, you can't be, you know, confining yourself in different rooms. That is my quick answer. Now, for long-term impact, upscale yourself with science knowledge. It is nothing like empowering ourselves so that we ourselves make the right decisions for us and our family.
Dr. Maha, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Sharmila.
That was Dr. Mahalakshmi Arjunan, Executive Director at the Malaysian Biotechnology Information Centre, speaking to us about the confusion and miscommunications, really, when it comes to government communication around COVID-19, and specifically in the latest instance when it comes to this question of banning outdoor exercise. And we want to know what you think about that outdoor exercise ban. How does this impact the way you've been trying to keep healthy over the last year? Call us, 7733-2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be talking about what we can do to exercise if we can't go out. And for that, we'll be speaking with Prakash Ravindran, who is a clinical psychologist and personal trainer. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:49. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila, and we are talking about the outdoor exercise ban that we're currently facing under MCO 3.0. And we've spent a bit of this hour looking at various aspects of this. We spoke about why outdoor exercise is so important, but also the communication around this and how it could have been done better. And we want to know what your thoughts are on this outdoor exercise ban. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And now we're going to close off this discussion by looking at the things that we can do, really. If we're not allowed to go out, what can we do while we're staying at home? And for that, we're joined by Prakash Ravindran, a clinical psychologist and personal trainer. Prakash, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Sharmila.
So let's start with the importance of exercise, not just in terms of physical fitness, but for mental health as well. Why is it so important, at, particularly in this point in time?
I think actually, you know, exercise has been important all along, right? But with the current situations, with the pandemic, it has really been heightened. In terms of physical health, obviously, it helps us to increase our immunity, strengthen our bodies. In terms of mental health, I think a lot of people at the moment are suffering with higher stress levels, higher anxiety levels, and exercise has been shown to be one way to reduce these stress or anxiety levels, you know, increase endorphins, lift the mood for those that might be feeling a little bit down or a little bit depressed. So exercise helps in these areas.
So for you personally, how much have you been relying on being outdoors to exercise during the pandemic?
Well, to be honest, I think more last year was when I did more outdoor exercise. When it was possible, you know, I would go for walks or jog around. And I would do exercise outside in my porch previously. But obviously, when gyms started reopening, then I slowly went back to the gym. But even with the gym open, I still did enjoy my walks outside, just to get my step count and things like that.
And many people have been taking up jogging or walking as a means of exercise over the last year. Now that these restrictions are in place, what would be a similar alternative that they can do indoors?
I think a simple one could be using the staircase. The staircase, climbing up and down the staircase is actually quite tiring if you do it consistently back to back. If you have multiple floors, climbing up multiple floors, you will get winded quite quickly. So I think using the stairs could be an option again, but obviously you got to make sure, you know, don't wear socks or don't wear anything that's slippery, and make sure to be careful when you climb up and down the stairs.
And what about those who are more accustomed to high-intensity workouts? What would be some ways that they can sort of keep up that pace and intensity while at home?
I think getting creative with using different kind of objects at home, whether it's using bodyweight workouts, whether it's using items that you have at home, whether water bottles, bags of rice I've seen people use, Yeah, so trying to be creative and coming up with different workouts together, that could be a way to get them to continue up with their pace and intensity of their typical workouts.
And we did see, especially I think earlier on in the pandemic, a lot of people buying gym or exercise equipment to be used at home. Would you recommend that for this point in the pandemic? And if so, what are some good foundation pieces that you can invest in?
I guess it can't hurt to have some tools at home anyway, right? I mean, of course, if finances allows you to, getting simple things like resistance bands, maybe some light dumbbells or light kettlebell could be a good starting point to for your fitness journey at home.
And the other thing that's happened, of course, is a lot of this has gone online, so virtual classes, really. But a lot of people have been feeling fatigued by these. Is that something that you experience? Do you have suggestions that you'd have for making the experience feel perhaps a little bit more fresh?
I guess, personally, I haven't felt that way yet, the fatigue, I guess, of doing the virtual classes. But I guess, obviously, with the demands of working throughout the day, being online, I guess it could be quite tiring to continue and do workouts online as well. I think an important part of exercise is doing something that you enjoy and finding something that you might like to do. So it could be an opportunity to explore different kinds of exercises or different kinds of workouts that you might not have tried before, which could stimulate motivation and higher interest. I think one of the viewers earlier mentioned that he was doing kickboxing, online kickboxing classes. So I've never done online kickboxing classes, so it would be quite fun to try that out. So I guess trying to keep the motivation up by doing something new or different.
And what about those of us who enjoy really that group experience, group classes or working out with friends and family? Is there a way that we can still keep that routine going?
Well, I'm going to say that will involve virtual, the use of technology, right? Yeah, so, you know, whether it's Zoom or video calls or, yeah. I think something that people can do is, you know, something quite fun is maybe creating workout challenges between each other, right? You know, so you've got your families and your friends and say, hey, you know, we're going to do this workout challenge together at this time and everybody joining together. So that could be a way to get even just the family at home, right? It doesn't have to be online virtually with friends, but even with the family at home, it could be a evening workout challenge. Yeah.
And in closing, what would be some general recommendations that you have for exercise to stay both physically and mentally fit during these times?
I think the most important thing is to be active and find time to be active, even if it's a short while every day, 20 to 30 minutes every day, whether, you know, we mentioned just not walking and running outside, which at the moment is not allowed. But yeah, replacing that with some sort of movement at home. It could even come in the form of, you know, doing house chores, cleaning the house, doing some gardening. These are all actually ways that we can move as well. So yeah.
Prakash, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
You just heard from Prakash Ravindran, clinical psychologist and personal trainer, talking to us about how to maintain a fitness routine while you're at home, particularly because, of course, now outdoor exercise is currently banned under MCO 3.0. And we've been asking you for your reactions to that, your thoughts on how this will impact you and how you keep healthy. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And we've got so many messages, and really most of them talking about just how difficult it's going to be with not being able to exercise outside. Li Ling says, you have someone who doesn't even look like he exercises as the head of sports ministry. Is it any surprise that the blanket ban on all activities is being imposed? For someone who exercises 5 to 6 times a week, this is an utter disaster. Exercise is not merely beneficial for physical health, it's tremendously important for mental health too. I completely agree, Li Ling. And that's what we've been speaking about with Professor Prakash earlier as well, the fact that exercise is not just about keeping fit physically. It serves a lot to make you feel like you're doing something active, particularly at a time when we're cooped up at home all the time. Aaron says, so far we haven't heard any sports or recreational COVID clusters, so why deprive us from carrying out this healthy lifestyle? You know, Aaron, I think this is something that could be extended to a number of things, right? Because we've heard this in relation to restaurants as well. People have been asking how many clusters have come about because of restaurants and dine-ins. And again, that speaks to, I think, a need for more transparency and clearer communication from the government in terms of why they are putting in particular SOPs. We have, just another quick one. We have Adalina who says, since we're not allowed to exercise, maybe we should all go do some exercise at the Ramadan bazaars since they're open. Adalina, I think we had an earlier listener who had a similar, I think Kevin, who had a similar idea about malls. So I don't know, maybe we'll see a lot of tracksuited people power walking through malls and bazaars. I'm not sure. Just keep your distance, but keep those thoughts coming. Let us know what you think about the ban on exercising outdoors. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This has been Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.